sermon is on prayer again. He used to go back and forth, and then I used to kind of like say, oh God, I want to pray for him to come back. But no one has taught me how to pray. Remember, I grew up within the Eastern Church with long beards and incense, and all the prayers were in a language that was so ancient that they even did not understand what they were saying. They sounded beautiful. I mean, it sounded very moving, but they had no clue what they were saying. And one time I asked the priest, what is this? He says, don't ask questions. Said, all right, and that was it. Because it would have made him look bad, you know, and no priest or pastor wants to look bad, you know, especially when you're challenged. But I remember going very emotional about this because it was really embedded within my emotions, but I really did not understand what prayer was. So when my father was traveling and, you know, I thought I'm going to pray for him to come back, not in 3 months, but maybe in 2 months' time. So I engaged myself in prayer. I remember saying the Lord's Prayer maybe 60 times a day. You know, when you're an 8-year-old or 9-year-old, that just, you know, that's what you do. And I really thought it was working out. Then God reminded me, I don't know if it was God or my logic, is that I should be engaging in reading the Bible. Now, we had a Bible at home. And, you know, instead of using highlighters, I used eyeliners. I remember getting this Bible. I didn't know where to start, but I wanted to really make God see that I was doing my best engaging in prayer for him to answer my prayers. So I took that Bible and start reading it and using my mother's eyeliner. She always complains. She says, I don't know why this is going bad. In the morning, very early morning, I used to highlight things as dark as you could, underline it, but I had no clue what I was doing. It is unfortunate that growing up within a church, right, with all this beauty, not understanding as a kid, 8-year-old, how to engage with God. Now, my story is not unique. Today, you know, almost 35 years after, or 40 years, I'm not going to give you my age here. You know, so many years after, kids don't know how to pray because the church is more interested in getting them into programs, right? And then them engaging with God. And they always avoid the tough questions because they don't want to be controversial. So these, I my heart goes out to many, many, many children, many parents. And I always, you know, I don't blame the church. I always blame the parents. You know, the parents, the family is the very first institution that God has created before the church. What a powerful institution, the family. Family fails, everything else fails. Family gets strong, everything else gets strong. And what's failing within our society, not politics, is family. But the church is very silent about it. So we create all these programs rather than bring people's focus to God and to prayer. Now, my prayers were answered. See, God takes us where we are in our faith. You know, you think what I said when I said the Lord's Prayer 100 times, were they in vain? Absolutely not. God smiled from heaven because that's the only thing I had. And I knew that if God was powerful, he is able to answer my prayer. See, my alternative motives were that my dad promised me a Timex watch from Canada. So I couldn't really wait for my dad to come to give me the watch. That was really the motive of my prayer. Now, he did come and then I did get my watch. But he taught me something about prayer, that prayer works. But prayer is far more than just saying things every day. Now imagine if you're a loving father, your son comes to you, and he says the following, Dad, I love you. I thank you for providing me for my needs. I thank you for taking me to school. None of my kids say this, but hey, I'm just saying, if you go to your father and you say this every day, and I want to thank you for providing me with a meal. And I hope you have a wonderful day. Thank you, Dad. Amen. Now imagine if your son came and said the same words every day to you, 3 times a day. Would you get bored as a father and say, son, you need enough? You know, we got it. We really got what you're saying. You don't have to repeat it every day. But unfortunately, that's what how many Christians are. They go and just say the same thing. God wants to shake us and say, look, I love you. Just talk to me. Just talk to me the way you talk to everybody. Just talk to me. No swearing words, but talk to me. And don't take my name in vain. we are lost because the church has never taught us how to pray. See, what I want to do between now and at the end of the sermon is give you some practical lessons of how we could get engaged in prayer. But you know what you need to do? Is sacrifice your time. And that's a hard thing to do, especially in a world that we live in, because most of our time is stolen by the world. We give it, you know, on a silver plate. But I want you to start very slow. Let me just give you a few quotes about prayer. Prayer does not fix us for the greater work. Prayer is the greater work that we do. Do not ever think that when you're praying, you're engaging in the last important thing within the church, within your life. Sometimes God calms the storm. Sometimes he lets the storm rage and calms his child. You know how many people have gone through storms in our church? And they've said, I'm going like, how can you do it? And he says, you know, I don't know what it is, but I feel very calm in it. Have you ever heard people talk like that? Well, have you ever thought that it is God? When you can't put your prayer into words, God hears your heart. You know, sometimes I go to God and just want to pray. Boy, more than I'm like, what am I going to say? Then I say, just shut up. Be still. And know that he is God. You know, the word be still in Psalm 46:10, if you translate it from Hebrew into English, the exact translation is relax. How many of us need to be relaxed and know that he is God? He's got it, but we want to control it. And he's saying, relax, boy. Relax, lady. I've got this. Trust me. When we have to pray with our eyes on God and not on the difficulties. Most of us are, when we approach the throne of grace, we're thinking about the big stuff that we have to solve. You can't solve nothing. Focus on God, and there's nothing impossible for him to do. I like Oswald Chambers. He's written a devotional, everyday devotional. It's an older book, but it's utterly relevant. It is not the body's posture, Billy Graham said, but the heart's attitude that counts when we pray. So all these things, we have to take it into consideration when we come and pray. Now, prayer, as I said, is the most powerful weapon, and Jesus prayed. Now, the Romans, soldiers, always guarded their garrisons. And they have shifts, right? The night shift started from 6 to 9. 9 to 12, 12 to 3, 3 to 6. Now the Jews really knew the times of these soldiers when they were changing the guard. And Jesus knew because he grew up in a Jewish home. His father was Jewish, his earthly father was Jewish, his mother was Jewish. So he knew about what was happening around him. So before the day starts, before the day broke, he went up and he spent time in the wilderness. When it says wilderness, it was, you know, if you've ever been to modern day Israel, there's a lot of places that you could just go, there's nothing, you know, just a desert or a little mountain or a little hill. He just went and spent time with God. Now, when did he do it? He did it at the last section when the soldiers were changing time at 3 to 6. Sometime maybe it was 4 o'clock or 3 o'clock. How long did he spend time? I don't know. But he always made a priority that his prayer time with his Heavenly Father was not accidental, but it was intentional. Most of our prayer life is accidental. Problem comes, we go and pray. Something happens, we need to pray. Right? Jesus' way of praying was intentional. And the verse that I'm going to read comes from Mark chapter 1, verses 35 to 39. Before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. Later, Simon and the others went out to find him. When they found him, they said, "Everyone is looking for you." But Jesus replied, "You must go on to other towns as well. We must go on to other towns as well, and I will preach to them too. That is why I came." So he traveled throughout the region of Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and casting out demons. Now, we you have to understand that what Jesus was doing up to this point, he was casting out demons. We don't talk about demons anymore in this country. Do you think demons exist? They are very much present. Evil is very much present and being celebrated within our society. And I could give you a whole list. Even in our courtrooms, even in Albany a few weeks ago, right? Late term abortion, everybody stands up and where's the church? Why all these people were not excommunicated by the church? When the church confesses something, and when their members separate faith from their daily decision-making process, yet they stay within the church. I've got issues with the church. Because the church is celebrating evil without even knowing. It is not enough to say it's wrong. We need to be the voice of the voiceless. See, sometimes I really can't stand people who are neutral. You know why? Because they've sided with evil anyway. That's one way of not upsetting people. And the church is so good, we want to stay neutral. The German church did not stay neutral. And the pastors who spoke against what was happening were taken into prisons, German pastors. And they were shot to death. But they stayed faithful to the one who has called them. See, it's not... When we go and pray, what are we praying? Lord, many of us pray for things that we want. We're desperately wanting. But do we ever pray for the will of God to be done? Even if it's not according to our liking? These are hard things to pray because it makes us sacrifice things. But then it engages us with the heart of God. Jesus woke up early to go and spend time with his heavenly Father. He was talking to his Father. Now, before he woke up that morning, you know what he was doing? He was basically driving away demons. Demons are evil spirits. And what they do, if you open your heart and soul to evil stuff, evil is going to come. They're invisible. They're going to come and just reside in you. And they're going to act through you. Now, we talk about terrorism in the world. I don't believe any human being using logic will do harm to others in the way that some terrorists do by going and blowing themselves up, thinking they're going to heaven. What a stupid thing. But when the devil reigns in somebody's heart, they take over their minds. And it usually happens when we open our hearts to the things of evil and we're not careful. I'm very, very careful where I go and who I listen to. Now, let me throw this at you, and I'm going to upset some of you. Did you know reading horoscopes is devilish, according to the Word of God? Yes. That we should not even touch it? Yes. How many of people that you know, or you've experienced that, and some people say, what's your star? I go like, I don't know. I really don't know. I don't have a star. No, no, you should have. What month were you born? And then eventually I just connect. I say, whoa, don't want to know. I don't really want to know about my personality, thank you very much. There's enough people who will tell me. I don't want to know about my future because I will wreck it. I trust my future to the Lord. I don't want to know about any of these things. And I've told you how the devil has used New Age stuff to really blind many Christians in the name of things that are just so destructive. We need to be very careful. See, in Jesus' time, people were very much aware of demon possession. Possession. Oh, yeah, they were possessed. We don't talk about this today. Because we don't know how to handle it. You know, even some seminaries, they've dropped from their studies the study of demonology and angelology. And yet, angels and demons are very much part of the Bible. Now, I'm going to give you a story and show you the power of prayer. If you go to chapter 9, I'm not going to read the whole story, but I'm going to just paraphrase it. You've got a bunch of people coming and just arguing. You've got Jesus' disciples in the middle of this argument. People are talking about faith stuff. There's a little boy in the picture, and there's a father. So the right there, the disciples see Jesus. They run towards Jesus, and they say, look, we've got a problem. There's a little boy who's demon-possessed. He is just shaking, and he's doing crazy stuff. Today, we put that kid on medication. Now, I'm not going to play the doctor here. Some kids need medication. Some kids need prayer. Some kids need, who knows, iPhones. But here in this instance, this kid is demon-possessed. There's a demon residing in this boy's soul who is destroying him. So the disciples do every trick in the book, but they cannot get rid of this demon. So they bring him to Jesus, and the father, you know, when you've got a child who is suffering, if you're a father or a mother, you will do anything in your power to bring health to your child's life. So this is what happens. Where is it? Oh, here. How long has this been happening? Jesus says. Jesus asked the boy's father. He replied, since he was a little boy, the spirit often throws him into the fire or into water, trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us if you can. What do you mean, if I can? Jesus asked. Anything is possible if a person believes. The problem with many Christians, they don't believe anymore. They use this as an insurance policy, and it just never works. You know, I was in the hospital praying for a woman's husband. I know these people. I don't really know them, but I know them. I've always loved the man. He was a good man. You know, not God, but he was a great guy, you know. But he was just, he was struggling with his health, and he was deteriorating every day. And the woman called. She says, Pastor, can you come and pray? I said, sure, I came and prayed. She says, oh, thank God, one more prayer. I said, what do you mean? She says, well, I asked the Buddhist monk that is just, you know, to pray. I asked our friends who are Muslims to pray. I even went to the psychic. I'm like, and of course, your prayer will be the strongest. And I was disgusted. I could not pray with my heart open to the Lord. She used prayer as an insurance policy. Why not? One more thing, it's not going to hurt, would it? I want my husband to get better. Boy, if she just understood the power that was in Jesus' name, then she would have never said what she said or asked whoever she asked. There is no other name than Jesus' name that all other things will bow to him in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. And here he comes to Jesus and he says, look, can you? And Jesus is not offended by him. Do you know what you're talking? Do you know who you're talking to? Of course I can. But do you believe that I can? Now, if you don't believe that God can change things, it's foolish to ask him to change things. And where does faith come from? Faith comes from hearing the word of God. That's absolute scripture, I'm telling you. Faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of God. Where does the word of God preached? Within the church of Jesus Christ. I always tell people unashamedly, if you go to a church and they don't preach the gospel, run away from it. Because the presence of God ceases to exist and faith will not grow. My faith did not, unfortunately, with all that beauty that I grew up with, it did not grow within the Eastern church. And this is the father instantly cries out. He says, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. You know, the guy was honest. He was struggling with his faith. Look, he says, I want to believe that you can, but but help me, please help me in my unbelief. This is what happens. When Jesus saw that the crowd of the onlookers was growing, he rebuked the evil spirit. He says, listen, you spirit that makes this boy unable to hear and speak. I command you to come out of this child and never enter him again. The spirit screamed and threw the boy into another violent convulsion and left him. The boy appeared to be dead. A murmur ran through the crowd as people said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and helped him to his feet. And he stood up. afterward, when Jesus was alone in the house with his disciples, they asked him, "Why couldn't we cast out that evil spirit?" And Jesus replied, "This kind can be cast out only by prayer." I mean, do you see the power of prayer? Jesus prayed before he cast that demon out. There's so much power in prayer. So much power that, you know, we all worry. That's part of the human DNA, right? Have you ever changed anything by worrying? Please, I want to learn. If you ever changed anything by worrying, but why don't we spend the time that we worry into prayer and engage with God? It changes things. I always give this challenge to people. God is going to give you as much as you ask, not more, not less. Don't ask for small things, but he's going to give it to you according to your faith. "But Pastor, I have issues with the Bible." Okay, tell me about it. Where? "Well, I don't agree with this." Have you read the Bible? "Not really. I don't read." Then they get very defensive. "I don't need to read the Bible." Then I stop defending the Bible. The Bible does not need defense. It defends itself. Have you ever met people who say, "I don't believe in the Bible"? And usually we get into an argument with them and say, you know, if they don't believe in the Bible, the second question we need to ask, "Have you read the Bible?" "Not really." "Well, let's start from there. Let's read the Bible and then come and talk. Which part you don't believe?" Because the moment our faith increases through the Word of God, then we are engaging our souls in prayer, knowing that before we ask, God has already given. Now, then people say, "Well, why God does not give us world peace?" Do you think that's God's problem or human problem? But God can change everything. Yeah, he invites us to hear his word. We're not robots. He's given us free will. Some people will follow evil and some people will follow good. So it's not a God problem. "Well, what about poverty in this country? Eat less and give the rest to the poor." "Well, I can't do that." Do you see, when it comes back to reality, it's our problem and has nothing to do with God. But God is watching and testing us day after day. Before we blame God, let's always examine ourselves. What fascinates me in this story is Jesus commands this. There's so much power in the name of Jesus. So much. And I've experienced this when I was a missionary. I believe every pastor, before they take a pulpit, they should work on the streets and engage with people of the world. I've dealt with some evil spirits. Within the church and outside the church. And you could discern. But I remember this, told you the story about the Satanist, right? In a ski resort in Grenoble in France. We used to go out and pray. Every Thursday was a prayer meeting for us. You know, I worked with an organization, Christian organization, where, you know, I initially thought it was a waste of time to pray from 5 o'clock to 11 o'clock every Thursday and fast once a month. Come on, that's a lot. Have you ever prayed for 6 hours nonstop? It's great, actually. I mean, when people are engaging in prayer, there are things that are happening in the midst. And then we prayed for this guy who was a Satanist who was just a pain in the neck. He used to come and spit on me as I'm talking, you know, like, "Do you report him to the police?" "No, because we're trying to be Christians." But anyway, one time after the other, we prayed for this guy over and over and over and over. And he used to wear this big satanic star. Scary stuff. Tattoos. Numbers that I did not understand. And there was one day he knelt in front of me and I laid my hands on him. And I prayed on him in the name of Jesus. And his life turned upside down. The church was on the streets of Grenoble. Miracles do not happen within the walls of the church. They're happening every day within our world. We need to watch and be engaged with these things through the power of prayer. So when things are not happening, don't go like, "Oh, we need to write it." Pray, pray, pray. A demon ran away through the power of prayer. You know, think about it. The God who divided the sea, the God who provided manna in the desert, the God who established a kingdom through David and protected David, The God who did so many things, isn't he capable of sorting your and my problems out? But we are afraid. What if? There's no what if. It's when. But again, Jesus says, do you believe? Because according to our faith, it's going to be done for us. So where does faith increase? It's within the body. So make God a priority. You and I, we need to make God a priority within this crazy, crazy world. How did Jesus do? He prioritized his time. My challenge for me, forget about you, for me. You know, I wake up in the morning, the very first thing I do is I said, my coffee, my percolator has to go on that. And I look at it, you have 5 minutes for me. Ah, it's ready. I look forward to that. And then I have my breakfast, and of course my cell phone, I have to check who sent emails, who didn't, whatever. But you know, before I start that day, can I wake up 15 minutes earlier? Of course I can. It's going to be a struggle. But why is it a struggle? Because the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. It's always been the war against body and spirit. The body is willing, the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. But when you train the body, it will obey the spirit. That 15 minutes can increase to an hour. I've done this before. But you know what? Church can create this lazy attitude that, oh, well, we need to, you know, the scripture says, you know, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. That's what it is. You're bringing your body and saying, Lord, I don't feel like this. I don't feel like praying, but I want to honor you by being in your presence. And God loves stuff like that. Draw near to God and God will draw near to you. You don't have to utter a word. You might even fall asleep there. But you dragged yourself there. And before you know it, you want more than 15 minutes with God. Now that is intentional prayer. Now I'm not saying throughout the day you don't pray. Of course you can pray. Those are accidental prayers. Something happens. Lord, help me with this neighbor of mine. Lord, that accident happened. Be with these. Those are all prayers, but they are accidental. But we need to be more intentional. Wednesday evening is intentional. It's an hour. I have to push people out of my house because that's how good it is. And it's free. We're engaging with God, with the heart of God. We pray for people, but we pray more for his kingdom to come. So my friends, Jesus used prayer. We need to use it too. He is our friend. Do you know that song? What a friend we have in Jesus. We're going to sing it. But think about the words that we're singing. What a friend we have in Jesus. You know, when you have burdens, cast it on him. Bring it to him. And he loves you enough, more than you think, that he will take care of you. For his glory, we say all this. Amen. Also,